All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. And I don't even want to start with the cards and the things tonight. I want to make a statement first. There's a lot going on in the world, okay? There's a lot of sin that as just human beings, you don't think that people have the audacity to commit these type of sins, especially child pedophilia, child sacrifice, all these things that were going on in Hollywood or are going on in Hollywood. Someone just, one of the high level employees of Halliburton just got arrested for child pedophilia in right there, Newport Beach. And so the war against child pedophilia in the world and satanic worship while using children for that is in the world right now. And you do have a president that's fighting against it, okay? And I know that a lot of people say, well, I don't like the type of person he is or the way he talks. Just understand what he's fighting against, okay? Yeah. I'm not concerned with what the fight anymore, because I'm under the understanding that the church is going to be gone right around election time, if not the day before, the day after. So for everyone that does not believe in the rapture, and for people who believe that this is just another time where people are going to say, oh, the end is coming and then we'll go another 10 years, you are very wrong, okay? So as this time falls on us and this last prophecy gets is accomplished and the Lord takes his church out of the world and leaves this world with what it's asking for. And what is it asking for? They want homosexuality. They want child pedophilia. They want riots in the street. So God is going to give them what they want. But the church is about to leave. Now, I know that people don't really understand why I'm being so strong and forceful about the church leaving the early part of November. And I hope we get that much time. We'll talk about that later. But the church leaving that soon, the reason I'm being, because God is showing me through scripture that it is time for the church to leave. He is watching over his word. He has prophesied a date. He has told us since the beginning when grace was going to end in the world, and it is about to end. I'm on a less than a month project here. And when we leave, the church will be in the worst shape. I mean, the church and the world will be in the worst shape that it has ever seen. Because the next thing they're going to do is they're going to go to war against Israel. And Israel is going to celebrate a false antichrist to be their Messiah. So everything that Bible says is about to happen. But not only non-believers who don't believe it, you have church people who are still arguing over silly stuff like mid-trib and post-trib, all this stupidity, and it is just something that you can have and you can argue about it when the church leaves, okay? Because we are not, I don't want to say, oh, the end is near. I'm telling you the end is here, okay? So if you're born again, get it together. If you've got problems, repent, get it together. Because once the door shuts, we're done, okay? We're going to get into a Bible study, and I have to show this to you clearly today so that you understand why I'm being so forceful in telling you we don't have time to play argument games with people over the rapture anymore. You want to argue once saved, always saved? The rapture will clear all that up, okay? So when it happens, and it is about to happen, I want you to know that you were warned, okay? If you're not born again and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, that is your first problem. You can't go because you're not invited, because you've never accepted the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So therefore, you don't qualify. If you want to qualify, you first have to repent and accept Christ. We'll explain the rapture to you later, okay? But for right now, this world is in big trouble, okay? And I shouldn't even have to tell you that. You should be able to look at it and see that it's in big trouble, okay? Because you don't even have to be sick to test positive for corona.
Amen.
They just have to say you got it, okay? Because they're keeping the lie going. And what does Psalms 120 say? Father God, deliver us from lies. So the year 2020 has already been prophesied that it's going to be a big fat lie. And it started this year and it's still running. And people are wondering, what are they doing, taking all these people's jobs and putting all these people under this stress so that they can prepare them for the tribulation. But that is what's happening. Okay? So praise the Lord. I wanted everyone to know that. And then I'm going to go through the Bible study so I can show you that this is about to happen. Okay?
Amen.
All right. Let me look at these cards. I just want to say the names tonight, and then I'll read them tomorrow because I have to get into this Bible study tonight. Okay. Ooh, brother, I was like, it's like, what? Okay, this is from, and I saw the card inside. I can't really pronounce her name, but I'm gonna try, okay? And then she can write me. It's A-N-I Anilka, Anilka. And its last name is A-B-R-E-U, like Abreu. So Anilka Abreu, she sent us, and I'm going to take these, Pastor Ben, because I love these. You see that?
Yeah.
I can mark my scriptures with these, and I don't need those little tags anymore. So I'm thanking you for these, because I'm going to use all of these.
Amen.
Praise God. So thank you for your letter, and thank you for this beautiful card that you sent me. And these bookmarkers, which I love. Wow. Don't ask for any, Pastor Ben. No, I'm just I'm just playing. All right. It says, I forgot to include this with my card, always in Christ. So she made sure that she got these included.
Amen.
Thank you so much. These are awesome. All right. Then our friend from Canada.
Amen.
Just sent another letter in, and I'll read that tonight, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow. And Kathy O'Connor from Horton, Michigan, she sent me a letter. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life scripture. And she sent me a letter, and I can't read tonight because, this is short. Please see the family receive. Okay, I'll make sure that Pastor Ben gets this. I don't want to read that out loud because we appreciate you, Kathy. But when we put your business out there in the street. But thank you so much. God bless you. You're awesome, awesome blessing to the church. And what else I have? Oh, this is from Renee Baker. And she sent me a beautiful card. And boy, if I don't finish that board, I'm going to slap myself because we're going to get raptured. So that's my beautiful card from Renee G. Baker. I'll read it tomorrow during Hebrew class. And here is, this is from Anilka. And they live in Ottenburg, Pennsylvania. Praise God. And this is the card.
Yeah,
no, look, the inside is even more beautiful. Look at that. Look at that.
That's awesome.
Beautiful, huh? So me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And okay, so now, I don't know if she sent you a card and me a card, or she sent me two cards because she liked me so much. And this is, says, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand, Isaiah 49:16. And look at that card. Now see, this stuff I need for my board. This is awesome. Then I got more sticky tags for me. And that is awesome. We'll read these letters tomorrow. We don't. Now, I don't know what this is, but it looks like a book. I don't know who put it together, but
yeah.
It looked like a whole, like somebody did a whole book. Impressed to express and all of that. Well, I'm gonna set that over here and you could tell me who sent it. I don't know yet.
It came from,
Jody Kress. Thank you so much, Jody. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. And then this is also from Jody Kress. And this is for Thanksgiving, not Halloween. We don't do Halloween. So this is a Thanksgiving. All right, you don't see no eyes in there, no teeth. This is okay. Thanksgiving. So thank you so much, Jody. God bless you. All right, let's get into prophecy and fulfilled prophecy, because we are about to be a part of the greatest prophecy since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of the prophecies, like the prophecies of the rebirth of the nation of Israel, we do know that that was prophesied thousands of years before it came.
Yes.
So we already, if you knew your Bible, you should have known Israel was going to be back in the world. Okay. And if you really were studying the Bible, you would know that Israel was going to be back in the world in 1948. Now, we're looking at it from the other side, so it's easy to look at in Scripture and see all the evidence. But the Scriptures clearly tells us that Israel will be back in the world in the year 5708, according to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. 5708 is 1948. Okay, not to include 1948 being the 19th book and 48th chapter, speaking of the return. So these are prophecies that God is watching over to make sure that these prophecies get fulfilled, right? I was explaining things to Paris yesterday. We were having a Bible study, and I said, now you'll see this. 19 years later, they lost Jerusalem when they were getting punished. And when they got Jerusalem back, it was 19 years after they got Israel back. So the prophecy that it would happen 19 years apart was already in the book of Kings, telling you that Israel would come back and then 19 years later they will get Jerusalem. So God is up there prophesying, telling us world history before it happens. Okay. And then my brother called today and I'm explaining to him that in Psalms 39 to 45, all you hear is the complaints of the nation of Israel, the Jews, complaining about an evil man who's doing evil things to them from Psalms 39. And then Psalms 45 is the first joyful psalm you get after 39. And it is because Hitler died in 1945. So in Psalms 45, you get this joyful psalm about, you know, the word of God and all of this, and a ready writer and all of this stuff. But you don't see it to 1945, because from 39 to 45, Hitler was there, but in 45 he died. So every psalm before 45 is a sad psalm about the torment that they were going through until Hitler died. So the God is up there and he's like, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay. And this is how you're going to know that God is real. Okay. Because when God tells you something and it happens, you should be able to say, he did it again. Okay. So we're going to look at the prophecy of Nisan 17, okay? And we talked about it before, but you need to know that it was a prophecy, okay? Nisan 17 was not just a thing that happened. God had already talked about Nisan 17 happening in the book of Genesis before it actually happened in the book of Matthew, right? So when did he start talking about Nisan 17? And what happened on Nisan 17? Are we Bible students?
Yes.
What is Nisan 17 should be the celebration day for all Christians. It's Resurrection Day,
yes.
Not Easter. Oh, I don't know what to do with Christians these days. They're like, they got stuff, Halloween stuff already on their doors. And then they, praise the Lord, we're off to church. I'm like, I just want to tear the Halloween stuff off while they go to church.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that because you're a pastor. But we shouldn't be celebrating Halloween, okay? And but we're not understanding that the God that we serve is real, okay? So God prophesied the most important day to all Christians is Nisan 17. The world made it Easter. It's not Easter. Christians don't celebrate Easter. Well, smart Christians don't celebrate Easter, okay? If you're not smart, you're hiding eggs and having kids with three-piece suits on looking for them in the middle of the heat. And that's his witness. I was that kid, right? So
It's not right.
Yeah, because you're not smart. You got to suffer, make the children suffer too. You find the most eggs, you get a dollar.
You got money?
Yeah. So, but I never won, but whoever did, they got the dollar. But we don't celebrate Easter, we celebrate Resurrection Day.
Yes.
And Resurrection Day is not Easter. Easter is the celebration of a goddess called Ishtar, who they burnt children to, okay? So that had nothing to do with the Resurrection Day,
Amen.
Okay? Now, Resurrection Day is Nisan 17. So when it falls on Nisan 17, whatever Gregorian calendar, whether it's March 20th or April 1st or whatever, that should be the day we celebrate, Nisan 17. It is the day that Jesus Christ resurrected out of the grave. What did Jesus Christ do for us when he resurrected? He reversed our curse. And what was our curse? The curse of sin having control over your life. Waking up using profanity every day, smoking weed every day, and it don't bother you because you don't even know you're a slave. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, this is going to reverse the curse of you being a slave to sin. And so now, the curse of being a slave to sin has been reversed, but it can only be reversed once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. His Spirit comes in and it begins to change us and to make us and to cause us to be different people, right? So like there's things that I used to be addicted to that are like filthy, disgusting things to me. I wouldn't even think about it, right? But it's the Spirit of God that came into me when I accepted Jesus Christ, because he resurrected on the 17th of Nisan, allowing me to now receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the 17th of Nisan is a prophesied date. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 4. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, Noah's been floating around on the boat for quite some time, right? And so in Genesis chapter 8, I'll start at verse 3. It says, the water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to a rest at Mount Ararat. That is a prophecy. What was the 17th day of the seventh month at that time? That was the 17th day of Nisan. And so on the 17th day of Nisan, the boat comes to rest, but God doesn't make it just rest anywhere. It rests on a mountain called Reverse the Curse. So God said, this is a prophecy about a coming time where the curse is going to be reversed on the 17th of Nisan. When, Lord? In the future. Well, how are you going to do it? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. I'm doing this as the first part of our message today so we can clear this up. I know this is some old news to some of you, but we have to clear this up because the 17th of Nisan was a prophesied date. Matter of fact, he prophesied two dates for the 17th. You in Exodus chapter 12, it says, The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. Now he just made Nisan the first month of the year. Okay? So he's going to prophesy to you about something he's going to do in the month of Nisan. He says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Go down to verse 6. Now it says, take care of them, the lambs he's talking about, until the 14th day of the month. So keep that lamb for 4 days. When all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them, what? Who's them? The lambs, at twilight. So on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, the lambs that they took into their homes on the 10th were killed at twilight. Yeah. They took the blood from that lamb and put it on the doorposts of their homes. So to make sure, because God says the death angel is coming on this very night, and if you have the blood of this lamb on your door, no one will die in your home. So the blood is what's going to protect you from the death angel that's coming tonight.
Yeah.
So they kill the lamb. They put the blood on the doorpost. The death angel comes that night, and everyone who didn't have blood on their door died. The firstborn in that house died. And that very same evening, they all left out of Egypt and gathered all of their stuff. Matter of fact, the Egyptian says, get out of here. We don't even want you here. They gave them gold, money. They say, whatever you want to take, just get out of here so that we don't all die. Okay? So they killed that lamb on the 14th of Nisan. 3 days later, on the 17th of Nisan, they were crossing through the Red Sea to the other side on the 17th of Nisan. Because if you read, Moses says, let my people go so we can go on a 3-day journey. Where? To the other side. Okay? But we know now that that lamb was talking about a future lamb, right? And that future lamb was Jesus Christ. And he's going to die on the exact same day that they killed the lamb coming out of Egypt, on the 14th of Nisan. But what did Jesus say to his apostles as he lived? I will be dead, but 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect, okay, from the grave. And he's letting them know time after time. It'll be as it was with Jonah. I'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, but then I'm going to resurrect. So if he dies on the 14th of Nisan, which he did, and he resurrects 3 days later, 15th, 16th, 17th, Jesus is on the land walking around talking and hugging people and eating in a resurrected body on the 17th of Nisan. What happened on that day? He resurrected, became the first fruit of everybody who's going to have a resurrected body, and now he can give us the Holy Spirit, which reverses the curse, so you can stop sinning. Instead of that crazy thing, oh, I'm going to stop sinning, and then when I stop sinning, I'm going to start going to church. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. You can't do it. That's backwards, right? That is absolutely backwards. You can't drive your car till you put some gas in it, right? You can't talk about doing anything until you get God in your life. You can't talk about change, okay? So God reverses the curse on the Hebrew calendar of the 17th of Nisan. So God has just told you 3,000 years before it happened, he told you exactly how it's going to happen, and it happened that way. So this prophecy of the 17th of Nisan has been fulfilled. Okay? That prophecy has been fulfilled. Jesus already came and died on the 14th. He already resurrected on the 17th. Prophecy done. Okay, so God says, I'm going to prophesy to you because what you just saw on the 17th of Nisan was the beginning of grace entering the world. because now everyone who accepts Jesus is saved by grace through faith, right? Not by the works of the law, but by grace through faith, okay? So we believe he gives us the Holy Spirit, then we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, doing our best to do the right things that are worthy of someone dying for us, right? So here we are, the 17th of Nisan gets, and God says, now I told you when grace was going to enter the world, now I'm going to show you when grace is going to leave the world, okay? But remember what he said in Isaiah 46, I tell you the end first. I'm going to tell you what the end is going to be before the beginning. The beginning of grace is Nisan 17. The end of grace is Heshvan 17. Okay? Now, let's talk about Nisan 17 for a second as I go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. As I go there, let's talk about the 17th of Heshvan. So he's prophesying about the 17th of Heshvan, and the 17th of Heshvan, the first prophecy is when the boat lands. So we're talking thousands of years, right? So then they come out of Egypt, and he prophesies that the lamb's going to die on the 14th in the future, and 3 days later he will rise. But they have to wait until Jesus comes, right? Jesus can't come into the world until the 4,000th year. Why? Because he's on God's time. And God says the lamb can't be presented until the fourth day. And for God, a day is 1,000 years. So for 4,000 years, Jesus is waiting to come into the world. Why? Because he's the prophecy of Nisan 17. When he comes in the world, he's going to reverse the curse. But you have to wait. So 2,000 years, Nisan 17 came and it went. Nisan 17 came and it went. Okay? Then one day, John the Baptist comes out and he says, behold, as Jesus is walking into the courtyard, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb was now in the world, okay? And ready to fulfill Nisan 17. Okay, so now we have to look at the other 17 prophecy. Now, I want you to understand this. Both these prophecies happen on the 17th. Do you guys know why? If you know anything about 17, you'll know that 17 is the prime number for God. Okay, it means perfect order of a divine God. Okay, so 17 is his number. Everything linked to 17 has to do with salvation, okay? So God's going to fulfill the first prophecy on the 17th, and he's going to fulfill the last prophecy on the 17th. So are you there in Genesis chapter 3? Okay. Now watch this. It says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, shall not always strive with man, that he also is flesh, yet his years shall be 120 years. Okay, so God is giving mankind, because of their sinful nature and everything that's evil that is going on in the world, God says, this can't go on forever. I am giving these people 120 years. Noah, come here. I want you to build an ark. This is how I want you to build it. And now he's already told Noah that in 120 years, this is going to happen. When he tells Noah, Noah is 480 years old. So then when we get over to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, God is incredible. We going home, y'all.
Amen.
In 7, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life. So 480 plus 120 is what? 600, right?
Yeah.
So exactly 120 years later, in the year of deliver us from the lie, it says, in the 600 year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Guess what? Grace is over. Noah preached righteousness. Do you know that?
Yes.
For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. You know Noah never preached the boat? Noah preached righteousness.
Right.
He never preached, and we all have to be on this boat if we're going to get saved. Noah never preached about the boat. For all you people that go preaching to people about the rapture before you preach to them about righteousness and salvation, he never preached about the boat. Although the boat's a big deal.
Yeah.
The rapture is a big deal because the rapture is the boat. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that's not what I'm supposed to preach to you about. What you need to know is that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let's forget about the boat right now, because you're not qualified to get on there anyway. Okay? But let's talk about righteousness. Let's see if you could stop doing and start obeying some of the laws that God has given us to do in this land. That's what I want to talk to you about. So then maybe you can become righteous, and then maybe God can add you to the boat. But until you become righteous, forget about the boat. All right? I don't want to talk to you about that. And that's how I approach my witnessing. I don't want to talk to you about the rapture. Now, you ain't saved yet. You're not even qualified. I'm trying to get you to accept the invitation. Once you get the ticket, we can get on a cruise ship, right?
Right.
But until you get the ticket, you ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
All right? So what's me talking to you about the boat and how beautiful it is and what's great on it? You ain't got a ticket. We got to talk ticket first,
right?
So I'm talking to people about righteousness so that they can get on. Now, the flood begins on the 17th of Heshvan. Understand that. Now, just like Nisan 17 was a prophecy that one day is going to come and reverse the curse, the 17th of Heshvan is a prophecy about when grace is going to be over and the door to the ark, which is Jesus, is going to be closed. Okay? So now God has given you the date. Now, I want you to understand this. For God to accomplish Nisan 17, he had to control every date for 4,000 years all the way to the time. He had to make sure he got arrested on the exact same day he was supposed to be arrested. He had to make sure that on the exact same day they were supposed to kill him, because if they don't do everything on time, then he doesn't fulfill the prophecy of Nisan 17. So God had to control all that. That's the God you serve. Now, for God to fulfill the 17th of Heshvan, he had to control everything that's going on in the earth. You understand? So it just so happens to be that in the 120th year since 1900, and Psalms is telling us, since the 1900, as we count off 120, and now we're at 120 years, this year is our qualification year. He can't fulfill Heshvan 17th until he clears off the 120 years. That was the important thing of us knowing that God is counting every year in Psalms, so that you know that Heshvan 17th can't happen in a year. It has to be in the 120th year. And here we are. You fully qualify now because you're in the 120th year. And so now all you're waiting for now is the fulfillment of Heshvan 17. So what happened, Heshvan 17? On this day, the floodwaters began. On this day, a guy called Rest, okay? Because that's what Noah means. Okay, backwards his name means grace, but forward his name means rest. A guy named Rest, and Jesus is going to give you rest. That's what this rapture is all about, okay? A guy named Rest has seven family members who he preached righteousness to all of them, and they believed.
Yeah.
Okay? So this guy named Rest is going to leave on the day of the judgment, okay? On the day of the judgment, which is what? Heshvan 17. That's the prophesied month and date. God did not say, and we're going to talk about this, no one knows the day or the hour, because you're going to understand why people have asked such crazy questions about that date. So now here we are, 120 years. We're waiting for Heshvan 17, which is next month on the, we'll say between the 3rd and the 5th, because we know the 17th starts in the evening and it finishes the next evening, okay? So you're looking at a two-day lapse between. So I don't know if it starts on the 3rd and ends on the 4th, or it starts on the 4th and ends on the 5th, but between those 3 days, you've got Heshvan 17, okay? So I don't know the day or the hour, but it doesn't matter, because when Jesus says nobody knows the day or the hour, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about marriage. So we got Heshvan 17 coming next month, okay? And it's going to fulfill the end of grace, yeah. All right? This is why God made Nisan, this shall be the first month of the year, the first month, and he made Heshvan the 8th month, because 8 is what? New beginnings. So in the month of new beginnings, you're going to get a new beginning. That's why God changed the calendar, to fulfill prophecy. Okay, now let's go, let's look at this. I want, when people look at this, they go, that guy's crazy. He really thinks the world's going to end in less than a month. Yes, I do. I'm trying to tell you, but if you don't want to believe me, you don't have to. But around the between the 3rd and the 5th on our calendar, or the 17th of Nisan on that calendar, a trumpet will blow and the church will be gone, okay? And so if you're in Christ, you're on the boat. If you're not in Christ, how long can you tread water? I don't know. Here we go. So, this notes from this paper that I gave you tonight is called Midrash of the Jewish Wedding, okay? I couldn't use all the information from this one, so I looked up several Jewish websites that talk about the history of the Jewish people. Now, first thing I want to talk to you about is this. Now watch this. When a bride is going to marry, when Kalai is going to marry Hatan, when the bride is going to marry the groom, what must first happen? The betrothal, the engagement, right? He has to become engaged to her, okay? How does he become engaged to her? Well, when he goes to see the father, he has to offer the father a bridal price, okay? So what was the bridal price for the church? Blood. I have not saved you with silver and gold, but with this precious blood, you've been redeemed. So the price for the bride was his blood. Jesus Christ came and he paid the bridal cost for the bride. This is all Jewish wedding tradition, okay? Now, after he pays the bridal cost, it's not settled then. The bride has to come out and meet him and agree to go with him. You understand? If she says, nah, then everything's off, right? But if she accepts him, they can now get married, okay? Now, once she comes out and she goes, hey, he's pretty good looking, I'll go with him. Now, they open a bottle of wine. They pour two glasses. They both take a sip. And the bridegroom says to the future bride, after taking one sip, I will not drink of the vine of this fruit again until I see you in my father's house. Then he says, I am going to go back to my father's house and build us a home. And then I will come back and get you and take you to be with me. That is a Jewish wedding, okay? Now, I'm going to begin reading this, okay? It says, when the disciple asked Yeshua about this date or this day of return to take them to be with him, he answered and told them to be alert to the signs, then said concerning that date and hour, he says, of that day and that hour, neither the angels, he says, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. Yeshua is simply quoting the well-known Hebrew idiom that all grooms quote when asked about the wedding day. In other words, Yeshua was telling them that the day was impossible to figure out, but that it could be accurately determined just as a day or two of being alerted to it. So in Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, it says, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until I drink with you anew in my Father's house or in my Father's kingdom. So all of these things are wedding idioms or wedding things that Jesus is talking about. Okay? It says here, so this is the statement that I'm standing by. Yeshua gives his bride many clues as to the time frame of the rapture will happen. Okay, famines, he talks about famines, earthquakes, pestilence. He talks about the rebirth of the fig tree. So he's telling us these days are coming. Let's go over to the next page. Listen what Jesus tells them in John chapter 14. Yeshua says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There are many rooms or many men in my Father's house or many mansions. I would not, he says, I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going there to prepare a place for you. For I go and after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. This was a wedding statement. Every Jew that heard him say that knew that he was talking about a wedding. Why? They were living in a culture of Hebrews that this is the statement that I say to my bride before I leave to go build the hoopah so I can come back and get her and bring her to marry me. Okay? So this is new to us, but to every Jew that they're all standing like, he's talking to us like we're a bride. And he's going to marry us and leave and then go build us a place. This is a wedding thing, okay? Let me continue. The wedding ceremony is the best guidance to the timing of the rapture. The bride is chosen. The bride price is paid. The bridegroom heads back to the Father's house to build a new home for himself and his bride. Now, this is what God did for me and for all of us, okay? You remember that David wanted to build a house for God, but God wouldn't let him? He says, you will not build me a house, but your son is going to build me a house, okay? So, understand this. The wedding can't be planned till the son finished building the house. You understand? When the father comes out and sees that the house has been built for the bride, then he gives his approval to go and get your bride. But before the house is built, the father would not give them approval to go and get his bride. Once the father came out and he approved of the house and he says, it's built, go and get your bride, they would start bringing the food out and preparing and decorating. Because now he's told the son to go and get your bride. Now, here, let me finish reading because I don't want to get too far off, okay? So, when did Solomon finish building his temple? building a house, no wedding until the house is built. Now listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 3 through 8. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bull, they called it the month of Bull then because it was the month of increase, okay? Which is the eighth month, what month is Heshvan? The eighth month. So the house, Solomon didn't finish building the house till the month of Heshvan. He couldn't get married until after he built the house. You understand? But why does the scripture say Solomon finished building the house of God? He says in the 11th month, in the month of Bull, which is the eighth month, was the house finished throughout all its parts and according to the fashion of it, and so was that he's 7 years in building it. So he built the house, but he finished it in the same month that the flood started. Okay. So now it says, finally, the father, after they build the house, the father gives approval saying that the building is complete. And then gives his son permission to go get the bride. The son then puts the actual wedding party into gear, into high gear. The hoopah gets put up. They put the hoopah up. They arrange for transportation for the bride. And it says, most importantly, they prepared the food and began to set out and decorating in the for the celebration. So this is Jewish history in a Jewish wedding. You can't get married till you finish building the house. And when you finish building the house, then I'll tell you to go. Well, he finished building the house in the eighth month. Okay, now, the process. It says, the people are now really excited in the community because what? They know that something's about to happen now. It says the people are excited and the men start their query of the groom. They start asking him. And this is what they ask him. So we see you finish the house, right? So they say, when are you going to go get your bride? And the bridegroom always says, don't ask me, don't ask my mother, don't ask my siblings. You will have to ask my father. Only he knows the day and the hour. So when Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour, only my father, he was talking about a Jewish idiom speaking of weddings, okay? This is why right after he says this, he starts talking about two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Because he's talking about this wedding will then be about to start because it'll happen on what? The day no one knows about this day. Now, this is one of the questions someone said. If Jesus is God and God is Jesus, why would Jesus not know the day of his wedding? It has nothing to do with him not knowing. He's giving an idiom, which is a statement that, like if I say, okay, see this house right here? This the ceilings are pretty high, right? If I said this, I got so angry I hit the ceiling. You would either say, Pastor Danny's a real good athlete, or he took a bat and he hit it, but it don't say that. But you would know that I just got extremely mad, right? Because we know this is an English idiom. We're not talking about me jumping up and hitting the ceiling. We're just giving an idiom so you know that I was at the fullness of my anger. When someone says, no one knows of the day or the hour, not even not the son nor the angels, but only my father, he's telling you, I'm talking to you about a coming wedding. That the father is going to say to me, once I finish building, go and get your bride. When do I finish building? In the eighth month, in the month of increase of harvest. So what? So what's going on here? So now, let's continue. Okay. So then after he makes that statement, the people know that the wedding is about to get started. Okay, the Jewish wedding. A Jewish wedding is full of significant rituals and is a perfect prophetic parallel of the coming Yeshua to take his church to be his bride, a dress rehearsal for the rapture. As the addition to the Father's house is being built, the community is paying attention to the many signs how close the day and the wedding approaches. That day, now I understand what God said. It says that day was not a totally unknown event. Each new process complete gave a sign as to how much longer it would be. Ever so often, one of the groom's friends would ask him about the actual day. And what's the statement he'd say? Nobody knows, only my Father, right? That was the common idiom to say about the wedding, okay? When the disciples asked Jesus about his day of return to take them to be with him, he answered and told them to be alert of the signs, or watch and pray. Concerning that day and that hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, a Jewish idiom for the bride, when God will tell him to go and get the bride. And when will he tell him to go get the bride? When the house is finished built. Okay, Yeshua simply quoted a well-known Hebrew idiom that all grooms would quote when asked about their wedding day. In other words, Yeshua was telling them that the day was impossible to figure out, but that it could be actually determined just a day or a two within the time, because they would begin to ask him that when? Only when the house was done. And when is the house done? In the eighth month, in the same month that the flood, okay? So, the process, the building of the house, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now, I want to read Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It says, and hath made of us one blood of all nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth, and had set his time before appointed our bounds of habitation. So God has not only put men on the earth, but he's set a time, an appointed time for all of us to be here, okay? So God is on a time cycle. In Hebrews, it says, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David as a passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And that's what I want to say to everyone today. Do not harden your heart, because God has set an appointed time. The rapture date is the same date as the end of grace. Grace ended on Heshvan 17 in the eighth month, in the 120th year. You are in the 120th year, less than 30 days from Heshvan 17th, the only year that the prophecy can be fulfilled. It has to happen in the 120th year, and it has to be on the Heshvan 17, or else the Heshvan 17 prophecy is not fulfilled. When Jesus came and he died on the cross, that was the year for the 17th of Nisan to be fulfilled.
Yes.
It was measured out to the very day and year that Christ would die on the cross. When the year came, it was time. If Nisan 17 passed that year, you missed the prophecy. And so now we're in the 120th year. And we're right at the door of the fulfillment of Heshvan 17. Seven churches leaving with the man we call grace and rest. The same as the flood. Seven families leaving with the man they call grace and rest. Okay? It's the same prophecy. And it's about to happen in this world. The Lord showed me when we were baptizing on the beach. He said, the exact same way you are here today baptizing and you're standing here and praying, it's going to be the exact same day thing like the rapture. You planned it first, and then all of a sudden you're here. And he said, it's, the day is coming when all of a sudden we're going to be there and you'll be standing, and the rapture will be a historical event, and the earth will go through what they're asking for. Because what they're asking for is the freedom to sin. Well, Satan's going to give it to them. Okay? But for us who love Jesus, let's hang in there, stay close to Christ, and let's be ready to go. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.